Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Call Cahill. How special team in NFL during the week?
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was the legend Dean Pope's office. Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley. We never talk football. We talk trash.
Craft Beer Mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
Patrick Manley.
So what I see on tape is guys just not given the full effort, and that's when I start seeing the crack in it. That's what I'm starting to see. The DJ Moore just struck me wrong that he didn't even turn around and want to watch the play. That's tapping out a little bit as a teammate. That if I'm in that room, I'm like, come on, DJ, what are you doing, man?
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our guy, Patrick Manley, has been watching some bad football lately from the Chicago Bears, and we like to pick his brain about all things football here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be back, guys. But unfortunately, we're back to where the Bears have been the last couple of years.
Yeah, this is not the future that we were promised.
No. I didn't sign up with Mitch to do the pre- and post-game show to continue talking about the same thing over and over. Honestly, guys, I thought this year, I said I was drinking the Kool-Aid. You heard that there in the opening. I thought this year was going to be different, and we're right back to where we've been in the past, and it's just unfortunate.
Why do you think the Bears are back in the same place?
A lot of things. I mean, Shane Waldron, to me, has not lived up to what we were hoping for. I don't think he's developing Caleb like we want to see. I think injuries have obviously hurt this team on the offensive line, and that's hurt Caleb as well. And then the other one, guys, they have too many damn meetings. Like, what's up with these meetings? And I just feel a team that has meetings all the time as players, that to me is a big red flag, and that's a lot of trouble. But it just seems like they're just not all clicking. Something is wrong of getting these guys all on the same page.
Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of different reasons there. Let's stick with the meetings, though, because I'm a fan of conversation. So maybe it's a fine line, because if you're not communicating about stuff, it can come out on the field. So it strikes me as a positive to talk about stuff. But why do you suspect that more meetings ends up being bad? Is there some kind of rift we don't know about or something like that?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it in my career when we had players-only meetings, and I guess it wasn't a players-only meeting on Monday. That's what I thought it was, and I heard differently. I talked to some people. But when you're having meetings all the time, things aren't going well. That's what it means to me. And I look back on my career. I remember, maybe 3 or 4 years into my career, somebody called a meeting, and we were all like, okay. And we were not a good team. And I was like, all right, we do need to figure something out. But we all kind of knew we weren't a good team. And when you continue calling these meetings and you have somebody stand in front of you and try to preach something, it just didn't go well. At the end of my career, somebody else, another player, called one. And I'm like, these meetings aren't going to fix everything. And I just feel like when you talk about it and talk about it, that's not the answer. The answer is looking inside, taking care of your position group, taking care of your own self, and making yourself play better. And I just, that to me, like I said, it just throws red flags when you have all these meetings. I don't understand it. Like, I'm just, that makes me really nervous about this team, Speaks. When you have all these meetings and you're talking, go out and do something. Just go practice harder. Go pay attention to the detail. Stop talking about it. Yeah. Just go do it. And I just hate when you hear all this talk. And then I'd rather just see something to be done, not just on the field at Soldier Field or wherever you're playing, but at Halas Hall. You know, stop saying we need to be better. Well, then go do it.
I get it. Hey, Pat, it has seemed to us that some camps have developed of people who don't mind talking to the media and saying mm-hmm. stuff. And some players who don't like when other players are doing it. And I'm wondering if that's a dynamic that you can relate to or remember. Because sometimes the players who don't want people to talk get labeled as like coaches players, like, you know, right? They're on the coach's side and the other. So like, is that kind of dynamic developing to your eyes and ears?
It changed at the end of my career. This dynamic now, everybody has a phone in their hand and everybody has a podcast and you have a microphone and all that stuff. So that started at the end of my career. I didn't like it. I was more old school, where we kept our message in our locker room. We kind of delivered it as one. I just think the game has changed. And then when you start hearing this, exactly what you're talking about is somebody saying they don't want them to talk. Somebody wants to go out and talk. That's a fractured locker room. And that, to me, is a troubled locker room, and that speaks volumes, honestly, volumes about your coaching staff and what's going on in there. And if I'm Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear factions saying one thing and another side saying another, and that just makes me nervous about this team and the direction they're going in.
I want to go back to something you said about Shane Waldron, and I'd love to know from the people that you talk to around the league, what goes on in these interviews with coordinators? Because I feel like some of this stuff that the Bears have had to work through should have been in the vetting process. Am I off base on that?
Yeah, but if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, they talked about how he was like, he could change his scheme depending on players and all that kind of stuff. I just don't see that happening. And they said that that's something they liked about him. And what I don't like about it is, what I see is he's calling plays, not players. I've talked about that earlier with you guys, but I don't know. I don't know what he did to wow them or to sell them. I don't know enough. And I think it's what happens. You got to go in and sell them on something, but he did, obviously. And I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. I don't know. And it's not showing up on, guys, it's not showing up on Sundays. And when you have to have meetings with your offensive coordinator and talk about, you know, holding each other accountable for practice and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that's not good. That is not good at all.
It just seems to me like if you're Matt Eberflus mm-hmm. and you're a defensive coach, when the offensive guy comes into your office to talk, you should be able to pick out his BS.
Yeah, well, 1,000%. And I also think this, that when you go back and watch that tape, you're a defensive coordinator, right? And Matt Eberflus, you have to look at that and be like, oh, this is so easy to defend. Like, you're doing this wrong. This is what I would do to you. And that's why I'm just curious why he's still on his side as much as he is. It is his hire. But as a defensive coordinator, he has to see this game plan and say, what are you doing? We're all seeing that. We've heard Stacey Dales talk about it. She, you know, reached out to other people throughout the league. And, you know, you see it. We see it. I see it. It just doesn't look right, and I'm just wondering why he is still has his back the way he does, and I wonder if it will change in the next couple weeks.
You tweeted something the other day that Eberflus can't fire Waldron because he's firing himself.
Yeah.
Because this hire, this is a massive, mm-hmm. massive hire. Yeah, this is a more important hire than Luke Getsy because of the quarterback that you get to work with and because of the timing. Like, does he get a third hire as offensive coordinator?
I don't know. I mean, the answer is I don't know. I don't think he should. That to me was his most important hire. They knew what they were going to draft. They knew what they were going to get. They were going to get a developmental quarterback that was going to be the franchise, guy, whether it be Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. And obviously they knew it was going to be Caleb Williams, but that to me is his most important hire. And if I'm Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, George McCaskey, you have a book on a coach, right? And you say, all right, this is his good stuff, this is his bad stuff. Well, his bad chapter is getting pretty darn big. And that's a big chapter of another hiring miss right now. It's a miss right now. They're 4-4. Lawrence, I heard you guys talk about where it's going to go from now. But it's been a big miss. And that's a big chapter in his book of whether you keep him or fire him. And I think it's not good.
Hey, Lawrence, I just found my notes from the offensive coordinator folder about about Waldron.
Can I
run a few things by you?
Please. Yeah,
this is from when they hired Waldron and found what they were saying and what sounded like a sweet spot with him. Offensive play caller for multiple years with a defensive head coach as his boss, so they knew he could just run the room in full, right? Not a hot head coaching candidate, so not a lot of fighting for him. And did they think that's a plus? That goes to your Cliff Kingsbury point, Lawrence.
He didn't want to hire his replacement.
Digging around about what went wrong for him in Seattle, I found this. A reliance on the pass more than the run. On third and short, they passed it a lot. Drove people crazy in Seattle that they passed so much on third and short. An under-targeting of DK Metcalf, especially in the last 5 to 6 weeks of the season. Some other stuff here about being good on first down, which screams of good thought process and design. Lots of pluses in here, but some of those minuses are interesting to look back on at this point.
Yeah, that's wild.
No doubt. And that's kind of what we're seeing, right? I mean, you have four playmakers in Cole, Keenan, DJ, and Rome, right? So why aren't you scheming plays for them? And that's what I see when I watch the tape. He's running an offense, right? He's running his plays, but you have four exceptional NFL players. Get them open. Scheme them open. Scheme plays for them. And I just don't see that. And I think that's hindering Caleb. And it's just make it easy on him. Just get the ball to those guys in their hands and figure it out. It's getting bad right now, and I'm just it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If they lose this game this week, guys, if they lose this game after watching a little bit of tape of the Patriots, oh man, it's damning. It's really, really damning.
So what did you see from the Patriots?
All right, I wanted to ask you guys, can you guys name four New England Patriots?
Only because I did research for Turn the Page. Okay. It's literally the only reason.
That's what I saw, yeah. Lawrence.
Drake
May. I had
May,
to do the same thing.
Drake May.
Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Ramon, okay, that's a backup. Stevenson. That's a backup. That's a backup. Yep. Joe Cardona is the long snapper, if you need that one.
DeMario Douglas. DeMario Douglas is a wide receiver.
There we go. Yeah, Dietrich Wise, who is now a backup. Like, it's not a good team. And it reminds me of when you watch Carolina and Jacksonville, right? And you know the Bears have way more talent. And right now we have some injuries across the lines that can hurt. But if you just go roster to roster, the Bears are way superior. And, again, like I said, if they lose this game, this is really damning. And that's what scares me, man. When you hear all these meetings, I talked about those meetings, this could spiral out of control. And, obviously, we know what's going on after the Patriots. But the Patriots don't have anything, Lawrence. They really don't. Drake May is their only hope. That's it.
Well, let me ask you one more film question.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about what the concepts were with the Bears offense and it not looking great. Are there any things or habits that you're seeing Caleb Williams fall into because of the not great concepts?
Yeah, I think he's forcing stuff. And obviously I'm not a QB guru and you guys have those guys on, but it looks to me like he's like, all right, this play, I want to throw it to Keenan or I want to throw it to DJ when it's not there. There's a couple of those corner routes. I think he forced it to Keenan when DJ was coming open underneath. There was one I know Cole was wide open on a 1st and 10 that he should have just dumped it to him, but it looked like he was trying to force it to some of those guys. And when he was playing well over those first couple weeks, we were praising him about taking the checkdowns, right?
Yes.
And I think, we were praising, and he's not doing that. So that's what I'm seeing right now. And I want to see more of that. But I don't know, as far as a QB guru, exactly what it is. But my football eye is he's not taking the checkdowns. He seems like he's forcing some of these throws. And he's inaccurate, too. That's the other thing.
Patrick, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us. And hopefully our conversation next week will be a better one.
Please, man. All right. We'll see you guys.
That is Patrick Manley. He breaks down football for us. How about a little baseball respite?
I'm ready, man. We got a couple of goodbyes that we need to say. And both of them are dudes who are beloved and with very good reason, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with you on that. So we will talk about that next here on the...
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
And I think this might be it for Kyle Hendricks. He is getting a hug from Tommy Harvey, and the fans now realize Kyle is going to walk away, and when he does, I'm just going to let you hear the crowd and the thunderous ovation, and here it comes.
All the unbelievable moments we've had the last 10, 11 seasons, the fans are always here for it, and they know. They know the moments. They're such good baseball fans. It would have never been the same playing somewhere else or playing in front of different people. So they've meant everything to me, and they did it again today. It was unbelievable.
Kyle Hendricks talking about his last time that he walked off the mound as a Cub, as it turns out.
Yes, sir.
Because now he is an Angel.
$2.5 million on a one-year deal. And the Angels, a team trying to become respectable with a lot of young pitchers, is bringing in Kyle Hendricks to be a mentor of sorts. And obviously he'll be great at that. And he gets a chance to pitch in California for one more year and try to rebuild his career a little bit. Although I suspect it's going to be a series of one-year attempts for whatever is left of
sure.
Kyle Hendricks' career.
And I think that anyone who has the opportunity to sign those one-year deals
mm-hmm.
should sign those one-year deals.
If you want to keep playing, man, you want to keep going, you keep going. I mean, my goodness, just an incredible run. Obviously, the last Cub left from the 2016 World Series team.
Wait, that's not true anymore. Isn't Rob Zastrzynski back?
Zastrzynski.
Isn't he back?
They did claim him, but I don't know that he's
back, baby.
He's not guaranteed a major league. That's awesome. I love that. Maybe Matt Caesar will come back too. Maybe Matt Caesar, you know?
And he only has Anthony Rizzo's bats now.
Oh, yeah. Is Matt Caesar the artist?
Is he the one that's in? He's in art now, right?
Yes, yes.
I've seen some of his stuff. It's incredible.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen Matt Caesar's art. A Great Caesar's Ghost. I haven't seen any of those things.
George's Box?
Yeah. My goodness gracious. Kyle Hendricks, like, when he was dominant in 15 and really in 16, when he went 16-8 with an ERA of 2.13, like, I remember I wrote some stuff back then, Lawrence, where, like, he was up there with certain players in terms of, like, true dominance. He was up there on, if he used his ERA as a midpoint, among active starting pitchers with between 400 and 600 innings pitched and at least 50 starts, he was up there with Jacob DeGrom, you know, Garrett Cole. Like, there was a point in there. Carlos Martinez. Remember Carlos Martinez?
I do.
So there was, like, young, established, fireballing, excellent starters. Everybody throwing mid to high 90s, and then there's Hendricks at 88.96.
See, to me, that is the really remarkable thing about Kyle Hendricks, is if you're ever looking for an example of pitcher in the modern era, because there's plenty of them in the era that we grew up watching, but in the modern era where you're not reliant on velo, you're doing it with placement.
Yep.
You're doing it with speed change. You're doing it with offsetting timing. He was a master at that for a decade.
Yeah, absolutely.
A guy that shouldn't have been able to stay in the major leagues as long as he did. He took the craft part of pitching very seriously. And I think that it plays out. Like, I used to love the memes of Kyle Hendricks showing 100% excitement. It's just his regular look that he has on his face.
because he
never acted that way. He never acted rattled. He never got bothered if a guy made a mistake behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He just was like, okay, well, we'll just go and get a double play ball and we'll get out of here.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the first part is we're talking about the artistry and the ability to sometimes dominate and then merely to stay afloat. And even that is impressive with the velocity that he had. Was inspiring. It was a victory for the brain, you know? It was like, oh, look at that. You actually can do that. And he would give you what Joe Maddon called that everyman feeling. Because yes, you're like, well, maybe, just maybe, I could go out there. But what he had was two changeups to go with two fastballs. And they all, they matched each other in the tunnels, you know? But it was just so thoughtful. But then what you're talking about the heartbeat, it's like that night against the Dodgers to win game 6 of the NLCS and send the Cubs to the World Series. He was in a building full of terrified people or excited people. His pulse seemed to be lower than normal, which was already low. Like, he was just so freaking calm. Game 3 of the World Series, the first World Series game at Wrigley since 1954, right? Or 1945, excuse me, 1945. And he was there. And that game, I mean, he was incredible in that game. He wasn't the reason they lost that game. Just so many huge moments. And it's just, he was aspirational to believe that you could maybe have done that without the dominant arm and velocity of his peers.
And the environment of it seeming like everyone wanting to push you out of the game, too, because you don't have velo.
Yeah.
Where oh, well, you know, he's got to be throwing 95 for us to even notice that prospect. And you know, we want the guys that are triple digits. A lot of those type of prospects it takes them a long time to harness. And I wonder, like, In a conversation on, like, hit and run, if you got Kyle on and you started to talk, because he would talk to you about pitching.
Oh, my God, yes.
If he feels like he actually did have more control because there was less velo. Now, granted, there are other guys that have velo and control.
Uh-huh.
Those are Hall of Famers. but in the Hall of the Very Good, a guy with a 1.1-something whip for his career, if that style allowed for there to be less variance in your bleep-ups,
mm-hmm,
where a guy who's throwing 99 or 102, like on the days where they're off, they're off.
Yeah.
And the ball is going everywhere and they can't seem to harness it or understand to take, maybe you don't need to throw 100 today.
Yeah.
Maybe you only need to throw 97. Do you know how to do that if you have to?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I'll tell you what else, what it did, the fact that that's how hard he threw, he knew that his mechanics had to be perfect every single time. And he was a master, and I think that heartbeat and that pace at which he worked was part of it. He was a master at repeating those mechanics absolutely perfectly every single time. It's why I used to refer to myself as the Kyle Hendricks of bags. Like, when I'm really good at cornhole, Lawrence, when I'm really good, my mechanics are so spot on every single time. My landing zone is within inches of every bag is within inches of each other. And then there might be some randomness. Maybe Captain Variance shows up and changes something on the board or with the way that it lands. But, yeah, you know, I consider myself the Kyle Hendricks of bags at my best.
Okay, well, we got to get a bags thing going on. They won't have them at Circa. Or maybe they will.
Maybe they will.
Maybe we can ask Aaron or somebody, like, hey, you guys got a little bag court? We can go put that up on the rooftop.
You know who's a shark? It's my wife.
She's really?
The best. She's absolute shark killer.
I thought you were going to say Manly, because he also is a shark.
I bet. But Christine, oh, my God, man. And she trash talks, too. She gets in my head. I don't like it.
I like it. I like that she's being competitive. Why do you think he chose the Angels? I mean, maybe there weren't a lot of suitors for him, but I feel like there's, it's great. Look, their stadium here, Diablo Stadium, is amazing. When Joe left and started to manage the Angels that next season, right before COVID, I came out here and I was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for Joe Maddon. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's out back. So I was in the back during a press conference. And at the end of it, like, I'm like, Joe. And he's like, holy crap. And then he toured me around Diablo Stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
It's an awesome place to work during the spring, for sure. And then you obviously have Anaheim to play in most of your games. And a big stretch of your games are going to be played in the state of California, which is awesome. I wonder if there were any other teams that were like, we'll pay you a little bit less and maybe you have a better chance of being a playoff team. Like, I wonder what was the criteria for him to choose the Angels.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I bet there weren't a lot, and I bet Cali was a big deal.
You know?
I bet being out there was a
look. Speaks. I gotta tell you, man, if you go to any of these places, even Denver, that have 310 days of sunshine.
Oh yeah.
It does something for you.
Yeah, no, I remember thinking when Jim Morrison on the end said, the West is the best. The West is the best. It was like, why? And then you go out there and you're like, oh, look at that. That's a Grand Canyon. That looks cool. Right? You're like, you drive through southern Utah. You're like, this is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
One of my favorite places to drive is State Route 51. Here in Arizona.
Okay.
And you can take it like from the airport and you can take it north and you're just like, oh, there's a house built into the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Would you look at that? There's sure. a $7 million house there.
Yeah. And then when I was living in LA and I was broke and unemployed and theoretically depressed, but I could use a quarter tank of gas and go either to the ocean or the desert or the mountains or the valley. I mean, like, what? I could do anything. And, you know,
you can't beat that.
Can't beat it, man. It's the best unemployment of my life. I've had a couple.
It happens.
Yeah. Speaking of unemployed.
Well, he's not unemployed.
Come on. I thought I nailed the segue, dude.
No. You guys make people think that Bob Costas doesn't have a job anymore.
No, that's a good point. But he does. He does have a job. What he doesn't have anymore is a role as a Major League Baseball play-by-play guy. And Bob Costas, friend of the show, and friend of the PBP, had a chance to frame his exit from play-by-play in exactly the way that he wanted to, with his friend Tom Verducci on MLB Network yesterday in a sit-down. And Bob had kind of a rough go this year, but he had known for a while that he was done. And I want you to listen to the self-awareness, and I can vouch for this self-awareness that this man has of a guy at the end of his run doing play-by-play that he shows in his comments here as to why he's hanging it up as a play-by-play voice.
I knew for more than a year that this would be the end of it. You and I discussed it about a year and a half ago, and I felt that I couldn't consistently reach my past standard. There might have been individual games or stretches within games or moments in games that were just the same as if it was the 1990s or the early 21st century, but I couldn't string enough of them together, and I have too much regard for the game, for the craft, and for whatever my own standard has been to hit beneath my lifetime batting average, which is why I'm grateful to the MLB Network for replaying the sounds of baseball, because players have this advantage over people in almost any other profession. My guy, Mickey Mantle, hit well below his lifetime average his last few years. But even a kid who never saw him play can go to Baseball Reference and see what the career was like. And I just felt like in the last couple of years, I couldn't quite reach that. And what I hope for this year, the people I worked for knew it, and a few other people knew it. I just hope to end on a grace note.
Bob really has thought about for a while whether he was good enough to keep doing it. And to have the awareness, I mean, we've seen it a million times with older athletes, right, Lawrence? Older athletes are like, you know,
they're hanging on and they don't.
Yeah.
Someone hasn't told them, hey, maybe.
Somebody's afraid to tell them, or if they hear it, they don't want to believe it, or their ego is just too big to accept it. This is a guy who knows. This is a guy who knows, and he has known. And I just thought that's awesome and exemplary, and it takes a lot to step away when you have chances to continue, because you are beloved. You are Bob Costas, and employers are like, yeah, man, yeah. And I know for a fact that his employers there would have welcomed him back for more, and he is deciding not to. So props to him.
The idea of more is actually, to me, part of the problem. I think that Bob could get to where he wants to be if he did it more often, but there isn't really a place for him to do it more often because of how baseball works and how the national contracts work. I think that he can live in the space of broadcaster emeritus for baseball for a while, because that's how most of us see him. Most of us that were inspired by Bob Costas to go into this industry, all the kids that go to Syracuse, like, that's the way that we see him anyway. So it's okay for him to step away from the role.
Yeah.
We still remember him calling Jordan in the NBA Finals. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so that baseball thing, like, we remember. Like, we remember Bob's greatness. We remember him being him presiding over things, whether it was in pregame or his interviews. I was just watching that crazy interview that he did with Vince McMahon, where Vince McMahon was threatening to beat him up, and then he moves closer to him in the interview. And Bob was I don't know if I've ever seen a interviewer clearly being threatened handle it as adeptly as he did in that moment. He matched him, like he moved to the front of the chair to kind of say, you're not intimidating me. He never raised his voice. He never, like, never saw his dander, like, get up. He just kind of let Vince act like he was going to run the thing. Yeah. And then eventually Vince, like, sits back in his chair and acts like a normal human being, which is very difficult for Vince, and clearly for anyone who's seen the documentary.
Yeah.
You now know that. But watching him, like, masterfully de-escalate something that could have gone the way of Jim Everett and Jim Rose, you know, it could have gone that way, and it didn't, because he's so good at his job.
Jim Rome. Yeah,
not Jim Rose. Although maybe.
Would Jim Rose have called him Chris? Would Jim Rose have called him Chris?
No,
I don't know.
No. JR's not that type of dude.
No, he's not.
And the thing is JR would have fought you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, that's
Rome would say it and not fight you. JR would not say it, but he would fight you.
He would fight. I mean, JR's an old army man.
Oh,
like,
really?
He's not to be played with.
All right, well, good. Well, see, and here's the thing. Like, the Costas that I always think of first is the one in Ken Burns Baseball, pontificating beautifully with great context on baseball and everything. And I'll still think of him that way. I just think that for any of us, as you said, who idolized him, the fact that he's going out like this as a play-by-play guy is even more room to idolize him. It's even one more reason to do it. All right, Lawrence, you've been wondering if a guy is what a guy is as a teammate.
I just there's a lot of coincidences around DJ Moore, and did we give him the label of non-diva too quickly?
It could be. Mark Grody has a Bears hit, two words, with incredible amounts of excellent audio, including from DJ. We've got that at the top of the hour. But let's discuss whether how much diva there is in the man next on 670 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score. And not just kidding. But,
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, tell us what this track is and what it's about.
It was just walking it out, that's all.
Yeah,
get your dance on. Do
DJ
your thing.
Unk, yeah.
Who is it by, Robbie?
DJ Unk.
DJ Unk.
I got down to this at a middle school dance.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Were you walking it out?
I was walking it out, yeah.
Did you know, Lawrence calls Robbie Triano the tree. And in our text thread with Mark Grody put a tree in there as his emoji in honor of the tree. And then you put another tree in there.
It's my Batman symbol.
Okay. And then did you know who I put in the in that text thread? Do you know whose picture that was that I put in there?
Was that Groot?
No,
I put in Groot.
Oh, that's excellent.
Because he's a tree.
He is a tree.
Oh, that's Tree Rollins.
Thank you very much. I wasn't sure if everybody got that or not. I went through the trouble of going onto the internet and getting a picture of Tree Rollins.
To the internet!
That's right.
Much bigger person than me.
Oh, an enormous person. And did he bite somebody, Lawrence? Do you remember Tree Rollins? Did he bite somebody's finger or something?
Well, I mean, back in those days, they were doing all sorts of stuff to people.
And I don't mean privately.
Either. Like, guys punching folks and not being thrown out of the game.
Oh, yeah. He bit Danny Ainge. So he bit Danny Ainge.
He deserved it.
Probably. And I'm reminded that the headline in the Boston Herald was Tree Bites Man, which is
that's a great headline.
That's outstanding.
Potsy write that? That is excellent. So listen, I want to preface this with I really like DJ Moore. I think that he has suffered a ton in the NFL. I like his game. I wish the Bears would find a way to get him the ball more. He probably wishes they would get him the ball more too. I think because of the way that he handled things with Justin, and I think he handled things with Justin better than I felt like that was Justin's biggest supporter.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting is people are saying, well, it seemed like he was a Justin guy, as if he was a Justin guy in the Justin and Caleb discussion, and I never took it that way. I just took it as him being a really cool teammate and, like, supportive of a nice dude. That's the way I took it.
I think he really liked Justin.
Yeah. Justin was understated and worked his ass off, and he saw that Justin was, you know, getting a raw deal on some levels. It seemed like a kind bit of support as opposed to, that's my quarterback, as opposed to this guy.
And I think that we have kind of given him, like, this, well, you know, DJ Moore, one of the reasons he's great is he's not a diva. And I know that diva is pejorative. Like, I get that it's a pejorative term when we talk about wide receivers. DJ has had some of those moments. Like, he had a moment where he put himself ahead of the team and threw a helmet in a celebration, and the team ended up losing because of it. Like, there have been these moments with him, and it just feels like there's a bunch of coincidences of, like, oh, well, you know, him talking about Caleb being bossy, and they go bossy and sassy and sassy and bossy.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, man, I'm with you there. And I think I said a few weeks back, like, he's definitely got some wide receiver in him. A little bit less than some other wide receivers, but he's definitely got that wide receiver gene of being, you know, dependent yet in an independent spot. So it's like, look at me.
And now he's gotten paid too. And that could change a person. Maybe you are acting out in a more outwardly way than you would. And there have been moments on the field. And we, what is the conversation this year about DJ Moore has been like, wow, you know, DJ's body language on the field is a little different than what we're used to seeing from DJ Moore.
Well, that's interesting.
Right?
If the getting paid changes your sense of emboldenment and makes you act in a slightly different way. There's also the fact that you're the wide receiver one, but they brought in another guy who has, for his career, been a badass wide receiver one. And frankly, is more...
And then they drafted another guy with a top 10 pick.
Yes, yes. But see, it's interesting because I remember having this conversation at the beginning of the year thinking, well, nobody should need to be like, look at me, and going selfish because DJ's been paid. You know, like
I think that's a very sensible way to think about it. But let's say that all of a sudden Mitch comes to you and he's like, all right, Speaks.
Yeah.
Spiegel and Holmes is going really well. It's going so well. We're going to pay you $1 million a year to do that show.
I'm listening.
And you'd be like, what about my guy Loho? No, he's going to make the same. It's fine. That would change the way you feel about yourself, wouldn't it? You'd be walking in here like that episode where Kramer finds the Technicolor dream coat. You have your hat and your cane. You'd be strutting down the street.
I think
with your $1 million a year.
All due respect, I think you might be projecting. Just
that's what I would do. No, I would just do a week's worth of shows in Arizona,
and then you'd be gone. Well, look, we didn't talk a lot about this play that surfaced from last week of DJ Moore walking off the field, but
I mean, I earned that money. I earned it.
Leave Danny alone.
Yeah. Lawrence's team, leave Danny alone, and I get it.
They wanted to give it to me.
This is Chris Long. This is Chris Long from the Green Light Podcast talking about DJ Moore, perhaps with some knowledge, but certainly with the video of DJ Moore walking off the field.
If DJ Moore doesn't want to be there and he doesn't like the quarterback, who's going first? And I was pro Fields. I was the one that was like, keep Fields. But if this is what we're doing, and I felt like maybe DJ Moore was pro Fields, like reading between the lines last year, right? Then here's the door, dude. They're having trouble getting him the ball anyways. It feels like Rome Odunze and him are on the best page out of three wide receivers. And by the way, this is from Rich Habar. Highest inaccurate target rates for players with 25-plus targets. Adunze is number 6, Keenan Allen's number 8, DJ Moore's number 10. Mm. You're not even getting missed the most out of the three of y'all. How are you the one walking off the field? Okay? And I think that also says something about like Caleb Williams, which is the guy's not Superman yet. The one thing that's inexcusable is like if one of your veterans who you brought here a couple years ago or last year or whatever, 2 years ago, DJ Moore doesn't want to be there, then you as a head coach now have to make a decision. You as the GM, Ryan Poles, Ian Yates Cunningham, my guy, Ian Yates Cunningham. Do you want to be here, bro? Do you? Seriously, it's time for a real conversation.
Wow.
Now, look, we know a lot of ex-players. Patrick Manley had a problem with it. Olin has had a problem with DJ Moore being as vocal as he's been. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even bring up the thing that he said about it has Flus lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
I want to say no. He said, I want to say no. Uh-huh. So go ahead and say no.
Haw had to fight back the horde on Twitter when the video came out.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of coincidences lately with DJ that makes me go, did we label him as a non-diva too quickly? That's all I'm asking.
No, that's fair. We're going to hear DJ Moore's explanation on that play as part of Mark Grody's Bears hit. But first, let's hear real quick Matt Eberflus's explanation when he spoke earlier today about that play.
Well, it rolled his ankle, right, on that particular play. You know, so that's what I saw. And then, you know, it's that's what it was. And then we just moved to the next play. You know, and again, we just got to do a good job on those plays of, you know, executing scramble drill and making sure we find guys open and all those types of things.
So that's all Matt Eberflus had to say. By the way, keep listening to your chance to win a pair of tickets to Football After Dark at the Gale Street Inn.
Yeah.
On November 12th, hosted by Layla Rahimi. Who's that? And with special guest Jalen Johnson. What am I doing now? It's all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and
it's
Railing.
It's not in the copy speech.
Good point. Everything wood should be. TimberTech Decking and Railing. Visit TimberTech.com. And by AARP, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. But that'll be really cool.
It's going to be awesome. They're both going to have a really good time, and I think they're going to connect, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I totally agree.
Are you ready for a Bears hit, two words?
Mark Grody's got it all.
We'll hear from DJ Moore next.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.